Chapter 5. Now We Are What We Have Become. Fimor, as it turned out, owed Obi-Wan some serious favors, because as soon as he'd realized something was wrong with the Elder Jedi, he'd politely made their excuses, then hustled Fimor to the first secluded space he could find and did what he could to drag him out of his spiral. Which meant the Chancellor very likely had no idea that his voice had caused Fimor to flash back to his future death. Not that the Chancellor would have any idea why that might be important. "We need to tell the Council," Fimor said as soon as he'd calmed down enough to think strategically. "We need to start pulling away from the Senate."
"Can't we just, I don't know, call a vote of no confidence on him like Her Majesty did to oust Valorum?" Obi-Wan asked, almost pleaded, sounding far too young for the burden Fimor had just dropped on his shoulders.
Fimor offered a bitter smile.
"That would require the Jedi to have a vote in the Senate, and at least enough support to pass that vote, neither of which we have, or would ever have. Not to mention, he hasn't even been in office a week yet. No one would support a vote of no confidence against a man who hasn't even had the chance to cark up."
Obi-Wan closed his eyes and visibly gathered himself.
"Can we pull apart from the Senate?" he asked quietly. "The Rusan reforms tie us to judicial, and I don't think they're going to just let us go. Not without someone taking our place, right?"
Fimor grimaced.
"I don't know," he admitted. "I don't know enough to say whether or not we can pull away, or what sort of protection we'll need to put in place if we can't."
He did know there was a replacement army for the Jedi, or there would be in 10 years, and he should probably let the Council know about that. "The how is not our job, little brother. We only need to warn them that danger is coming. The Council will be in charge of deciding how to face it."
"Okay."
Obi-Wan took a deep breath in, held it, let it out.
"Okay. Then let's go interrupt the Council."
"Now you sound like our master," Fimor told him,
and Obi-Wan's responding laugh was a little cracked at the edges, but honest enough. They made their way back into the palace and through the hallways to the room the Council had claimed. Fimor knocked on the door and stepped back to wait, trying not to fidget. Tien opened the door and stared at them for a beat before he sighed and stepped back, holding the door open for them.
"It's your new headache, Mace," he called in warning. "Cark it, Fimor," Windu cursed, very firmly, not looking in their direction. Obi-Wan shot Fimor a shocked look, apparently unaware Windu was capable of cursing or some such. Wait until he found out that Fimor had said, on average, one curse every 2 years before the war.
"Bad omens you bring?" Master Yaddle asked, her hologram flickering slightly.
"I'm afraid so, Masters," Fimor agreed as he stepped into the center of the circle of counselors, Obi-Wan staying close to his shoulder like he was still a Padawan. Fimor suspected it would take him a few months to stop doing that when he was with the Niter Master.
He opened his mouth to tell them about Palpatine, only to stop, debating how much to tell them, what they'd need to know to believe him. Obi-Wan had been simple. Fimor said,
"The Chancellor's working with the Sith," and he took it as truth.
The Council wasn't likely to be as easy to convince. They were going to want proof. Or, in the absence of proof, a clear enough report to show those mental gymnastics.
"Master Fimor," Jarl Poof prompted.
Fimor drew in a slow, careful breath.
In the future, my memories of it, there's... No, we were fighting a war. The Senate put the Jedi in charge of the army."
"Army? Where could the Senate get one of those?" Mundi asked thoughtfully.
"That's complicated. And I don't know the whole of it. I wasn't involved. I was told to go with my unit, and we would clean up after battles, find survivors, unbury the dead for last rites and burials, clear out any of the remaining enemy that the rest of the army missed when they got called away."
"Disheartening such work sounds," Yaddle murmured, her ears lowered.
Fëanor thought of ruined school buildings and streets full of corpses with no one left living to claim them. Yes, he said quietly. Obi-Wan shifted forward, his arm coming to rest against Fëanor's, and support warmed through their bond, bolstering him. Fëanor drew in another careful breath, let it, and Obi-Wan's brilliant presence next to him, give him the strength to say the hardest part. We just finished up an area, waiting for our next ship out orders. One of my soldiers, my direct subordinate, he insisted on breakfast in the mess tent. We'd just got news a few hours before that the last of our opponent's military leaders had been killed, so spirits were high. There was no warning. One moment, everything was calm. The next, the Force, he shook his head. It screamed, Masters. Not like a warning, but like it was in pain. The counselors traded worried looks, all of them tense and unhappy, but not a one that Fëanor could see looked like they didn't believe him. During the screaming, I heard a voice telling my subordinate to execute Order 66. The soldiers, they'd been trained to follow certain orders, shorthand for battle movements, I guess, but that one, I'd never heard that one before, never seen it in the brief, so I started to ask, and he shot me. The room was utterly silent, but the Force swirled around them all, sharing echoes of betrayal and grief and fear, lending far more truth to his story than Fëanor had meant to, and he wasn't certain how to draw it all back inside, nor how to release it into the Force, let it be swept away from them all.
A trial you faced, Yoda said grimly, his ears gone flat, his claws wrapped tight around the handle of his gimmer stick. Greater and crueler it was than any this council could design.
Fëanor swallowed and shook his head.
The voice, the one who gave the order, I didn't recognize it then, but I heard it again just now. Masters, the one who ordered my death was Chancellor Palpatine. A dangerous accusation, Opo-Rensis warned, and Fëanor clenched his jaw against the urge to scream.
Accusation, Obi-Wan demanded, stepping forward to stand at Fëanor's side, so close enough their arms were pressed together. The Jedi Order gets dragged into a war and told to lead it. We're supposed to be peacekeepers, not warriors. Something is rotten. Why wouldn't it be the man who just got elected to the head of our government is working for the Sith?
The Sith? Eeth Koth demanded, hologram straightening in the very real chair it was occupying. Knight Kenobi, you go too far.
I just killed one, Obi-Wan shot right back, before it seemed to occur to him that he was sassing a counselor,
and he hunched in on himself a bit, pressing closer to Fëanor.
Masters, Fëanor said in as firm a voice as he could manage. The Sith are involved. Maul's existence should be proof enough of that, not to mention the darkness permeating the Force. And, he took a deep breath, during the war, the leader of the opposition openly called himself a Sith. He was not Maul's master, and it was made clear to the Council at the time that the Sith who trained him was still alive and directing things behind the scenes. There was a rumor, one that started early in the war, that Tyrannus's master was somehow directing the actions of the Senate. No one believed it then, because how could one being direct the actions of the entire Senate? Especially without any Jedi noticing when they reported to various senators or the Chancellor for meetings related to missions and deployments. But Masters, with the war, with the way the Senate so often gets gridlocked over minor matters, it was believed that the Supreme Chancellor should be granted emergency powers, more and more every month. By the final year of the war, he ran the Senate, and the Army, and the Jedi.
The Council traded uncomfortable looks.
Say Palpatine is working for, or with, the Sith Master, Windu said at last, very studiously not, looking at Fëanor. What exactly are you expecting the Council to do with this information, without hard proof?
Fëanor straightened, setting his shoulders. Pull away from the Senate. Shock and indignation rang in the Force. Kun let out a humming sound.
So Knight Kenobi emulates his master, while Master Fëanor emulates his grandmaster. Master Yan isn't wrong, Fëanor replied, grimacing a bit at the taste of those words on his tongue. The Senate is a hive of corruption and greed, barely held together by those few among its number who truly want what's best for the sectors and planets they represent. And the Order, acting at the Senate's direction, too often oversees treaty signings and political functions where we aren't necessary. While conflicts that could have been avoided or shortened with our timely intervention result in the deaths of thousands. Or worse, unverified information sent through back channels is taken as trusted fact and leads to a genocide. Yoda tapped his gimmer stick on the ground, silencing any retort the council might have had to that. Galadron was a sore point in their lineage especially. He looked tired, old, in a way he had during the war, and Fëanor swallowed against a knot of grief at the realization that he had done this. He had set this weight on his great-grandmaster's shoulders, on the shoulders of Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and the whole rest of the council, and he couldn't even regret it.
"Much to discuss we have," Yoda said in a firm tone. "Fëanor, Obi-Wan, to your reconstruction efforts you should go. Rebuilding heals the soul it does,"
he added with a smile that Fëanor suspected was forced, but looked real enough to pass muster. He bowed, Obi-Wan a beat behind him.
"Thank you for your time, masters," he murmured and turned to go.
"Master Fëanor," Depa Balaba called, and he glanced over at her. She smiled at him and said, "The Force is with us."
Fëanor bowed to her, unable to articulate how much of a reassurance that simple phrase was. The Force had sent him back to this time, this place, with his memories of tragedy and death. It had sent him to fix things, to right the wrongs they had been blind to for too long. He wrapped an arm around Obi-Wan's shoulders as the door of the meeting room fell closed behind him.
"Let's go fix something," he said.
Obi-Wan put his arm back around Fëanor in return and leant into him, a trickle of hope coming through the bond.
"That sounds good," he said.
And they quit the palace, leaving behind as much of their concerns about Palpatine, the council's decisions, and the future as they could for the rest of the day. The victory parade was everything an over-the-top celebration of freedom should be. The streets were packed, everyone in their finest and most colorful clothing, waving flags and streamers made of some material that caught the light from the sun and dazzled onlookers. Queen Amidala, and it was her, not a decoy, was resplendent in a fine, feathery white gown, and the Force was alight with happiness and pride around her. Palpatine was standing with a group of Naboo ministers, the visiting members of the Jedi Council, and Wang Wei, back from the place of pride, but still very obviously placed to show his importance. Okay, Fëanor could admit he might just be projecting his suspicions there. The man was the Supreme Chancellor of the Republic, and the former senator of the Chomel Sector, of which Naboo was a member. Of course he would have a visible position in the proceedings. Fëanor, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Skywalker had all been directed to stand farther forward, in a place of pride that was meant as a recognition of their part in Naboo's victory. Skywalker had been supplied with the pure white robes of a Jedi initiate, and one of the Queen's handmaidens had somehow convinced him to cut his hair short, which looked far better than the bowl cut had done. Someone, Fëanor suspected his former master, had managed to convince the palace staff to find them all undyed tunics, so Fëanor, Qui-Gon, and Obi-Wan were all dressed in the brown robes over bland beige tunics and tabards, over dark leggings that most people associated with the Jedi. As much as Fëanor had wanted to rebel by wearing one of the orange tunics in the wardrobe in his room, he understood the point of showing a united front, especially given his most recent conversation with the council, and had even talked Wang Wei, who also hated the lack of color in conventional Jedi wear, into leaving her orange tabards behind for the parade. Fëanor, Qui-Gon, and Obi-Wan had all arrayed themselves around Skywalker, a little bit like an honor guard. Partially to keep him safe, Fëanor had told his former master about Palpatine as soon as he'd been able to get the man alone, and he knew they were all even more wary about leaving the boy unattended, now that they knew the Sith Master's ally, or servant, was so close. And partially to keep him from wandering, he'd already complained about being bored once, while they'd waited for the Gungans to make their way up from the city gates.
Qui-Gon kept trying to convince Fëanor that Skywalker had been much better behaved before he'd tagged along. Fëanor held to it that the boy had probably just been nervous, and likely a little intimidated before he'd seen Qui-Gon getting yelled at for being a complete idiot, and realized that the three Jedi were as fallible as him. Once the Gungans came through the ceremonial arch and Boss Nass stepped up to take the Globe of Peace, the public part of the ceremony was essentially over. Qui-Gon, Fëanor, and Obi-Wan followed the two Naboo rulers and their entourages into the palace. Having been requested to serve as witnesses in the signing of a more formal declaration of peace and alliance between the two species, Weng Wei slipped in at Fëanor's elbow almost as soon as they'd entered the palace, doing a very good impression of a serious, well-behaved young woman. Skywalker, much to his apparent displeasure, was stolen away by Yoda before they made it to the room the formal treaty signing would take place in. The troll had decided that it was his job to catch the boy up on creche studies before they returned to the temple. Moody and Teen remained with the Chancellor's party, joining them in the room for the formalities, while the rest of the council vanished. Fëanor assumed that they were either communicating with their fellows on Coruscant or preparing things for leaving that evening. The Chancellor had apparently apologized to Amidala over breakfast that he couldn't remain any longer, and since the council had come on his ship, all the Jedi would be leaving with him. The Gungans and humans had already done their minor quibbling over the wording of the treaty, so the signing was quick and as lighthearted as the parade had been, Nas's booming laughter filling the room at something the queen murmured. Before they could make their escape to pack, one of the handmaidens motioned for the four Jedi to stay a moment. Amidala did a quick circuit of the various ministers and dignitaries, then approached them with a faint, almost fond smile. Once they'd bowed to her, she said, "Masters Jedi, as we have said it before, we will say it again. Thank you. Naboo, humans, and Gungans owe you a debt for your part in our freedom. Should you ever find yourselves in need, know you have friends, a bed, and a hot meal here." Her gaze flicked to Weng Wei, and she added, "And you, Padawan Weng Wei." Weng Wei's delight was a nova burst in the Force, even as she followed Fëanor, Qui-Gon, and Obi-Wan's example of responding with a bow. "We will always be grateful to have assisted the Naboo," Qui-Gon said for all of them. "And we have little doubt that you will have been victorious on your own. You are a brave and true leader, Your Majesty. As are you, Boss Nass," he added as the Gungan leader approached. "Isn't no falling for use of fancy speakings this a time, Master Jin," Nass warned, though he was grinning. That sounded like a story. Qui-Gon simply bowed in response, and the Gungan chuckled before settling himself in a more serious manner. "Jedi Misa have learned and making very bad enemies, but very good friends. Gungans are same." Qui-Gon's mustache twitched. "It does appear that way," he agreed mildly. "Perhaps it would be best for us both to be friends." Naz grinned at him. "I's thinking so too," he agreed, and then clapped Qui-Gon hard on the shoulder. "But Master Jin, friends no use in mind tricks." Obi-Wan coughed, amusement flickering around him in the Force. "No more mind tricks, I promise," Qui-Gon replied. Naz watched him for a moment, then nodded and left them to go speak with another Gungan who was trying to get his attention. Amidala's mouth had turned up with a small, amused smile during the interaction. "We hope your trip back to Coruscant goes smoothly," she offered.
"Thank you, Your Majesty." They all bowed to her, and she let herself be drawn away to a conversation with Palpatine by one of her handmaidens.
Weng Wei waited until they had left the room and started back to their suite before informing Fëanor.
"I want to be like her when I grow up, Master."
"And here I thought you wanted to be a Jedi," Fëanor replied mildly.
"You know what I mean."
Fëanor chuckled, inclining his head. Queen Amidala certainly had a degree of poise and gentle strength that would appeal to his Padawan.
"You realize, Padawan, that you're already the same age as Queen Amidala," Qui-Gon commented.
Fëanor blinked. He'd known the queen was young. The makeup disguised a lot, including the wearer's age. But he'd seen her out of it, and hadn't realized how young.
"She is not," Weng Wei returned.
"I'm afraid she is," Obi-Wan correlated.
Weng Wei let out a pitiful moan and drooped.
Fëanor chuckled at her dramatics and reached over to tug gently on her Padawan braid.
"I, for one, like you quite the way you are, my precious Padawan. And I'm sure Her Majesty would say the same."
Weng Wei flushed plum and offered him a shy smile.
"I'm not so sure about that last, Master, but thank you."
Fëanor didn't try arguing with her about it.
His Padawan would learn in her own time how amazing a woman she could become.
Master Fëanor, Palpatine called from behind him, and Fëanor let himself close his eyes in defeat. You're a remarkably difficult man to catch up.
Fëanor pasted on the politely blank expression he had shaped for dealing with exceptionally difficult politicians, as he turned and gave a bow of greeting.
I'm afraid that's one of the dangers of having a Padawan, Chancellor, he replied.
Palpatine's smile was as genial as Fëanor recalled it being from the many, many public speeches he'd given over the years of the war. Both those speeches praising the Jedi and the Vaudet, and those castigating them. And Fëanor struggled with the urge to punch that expression from his face.
Yes, he said, tone inviting Fëanor to join in the joke. I imagine caring for such an excitable child would be time-consuming. I can't imagine how you manage.
Our young are our future, Chancellor. To guide them along their path is an honor and a joy, Fëanor returned stiffly.
Palpatine blinked.
Forgive me, I didn't mean to overstep. Your Padawan seems to be a singularly bright and loyal girl. She was quite worried about you on our trip to Naboo. Stay away from my Padawan, Fëanor wanted to snarl.
But he swallowed the reaction down and inclined his head.
Yes, I suspect the Naboo healers underestimated how quickly a Jedi can heal.
Palpatine smiled that genial smile again.
So it seems. It was a relief to all of us, I'm sure, to see you standing and moving without assistance upon our arrival. As it was a relief to me, it's no comfortable thing being burned by a lightsaber, he inclined his head. Was there something you needed of me, Chancellor, or was this simply an opportunity you could not refuse to finally converse with elusive prey?
He asked mildly, forcing back a wince as he realized how telling his word choice might be.
The Chancellor chuckled. I admit I was a little curious if I might actually manage to have a proper conversation with you. However, his smile dimmed slightly, taking on a more serious air. It did occur to me, hearing about how Master Jin was so indispensable in the wording of both the treaty between Naboo and the Trade Federation, and between the Naboo and the Gungans, that I have been ignoring a resource during my time in the Senate. I understand that you're one of the vaunted Jedi ambassadors, and I wonder if you wouldn't agree to serve as my personal advisor.
What?
I admit that I'm not quite certain how to respond, Chancellor.
Fëanor managed to get out in a steady voice. Palpatine smiled, his genial smile again warm and friendly, and promised,
You needn't respond right now, of course. I understand you might have other responsibilities that might make such a position more of a burden than an honor. However, given your part in the protection and freeing of my people, I'm certain you'll provide the steady, honest voice I and the Senate need as we work to clean up the corruption that has made such a tragedy possible.
If Fëanor were a less jaded man, if he hadn't struggled through literal war zones and been killed on this man's order, he may have been swayed by his words and the easy, friendly manner he wore around himself. As he'd been at this point in his life originally, disgraced, clinging to the lineage he'd started to build from the ashes of what he should have had, and grieving for the loss of the master who he'd believed hadn't wanted him, he very likely would have jumped at this opportunity to make something of himself, to be other than just another faceless member among the many and more distinguished Jedi consulars. But Fëanor was not that man, and he knew that Palpatine was a snake lying in the shade of flowers, waiting to do the bidding of the Sith Master holding his strings. He didn't trust him, and he did not trust his motives. And yet, was it not because he didn't trust him, knew he was dangerous, that he should take that position, keep as close an eye as possible on the enemy he knew, in hopes that he might lead him to the enemy waiting still in the shadows? He'd never been one for the sort of subterfuge he suspected he would need to discover and preempt whatever danger Palpatine and his puppet master had waiting in the wings. This was more Rune's forte. And he was finally starting to understand why his friend had sworn she would never take on a Padawan. Could he stomach bringing Wang Wei into constant contact with someone being influenced by the Sith? Did he dare endanger her that way?
And if he did, how much of the truth should he tell her? She was strong and brave, but she was still just a girl, growing into the self-assured young woman he knew she would become, but still so vulnerable to the poison-laced honey the Senate was rife with.
"I am extremely honored by the offer," he said in as steady a voice as he could manage. "However, it's something I would have to discuss with my Padawan, and unfortunately such appointments are always at the discretion of the Council."
"I have every faith that the Jedi Council will agree that you are suited to the job," Palpatine assured him. "But I understand you must put your Padawan first. Do give my best to her and let me know what you both decide."
Fimor bowed.
"Of course, Chancellor," he agreed, and took the opening to turn and walk as sedately as he could down to the room his former master was sharing with Obi-Wan and Skywalker. He could sense Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan within, while Skywalker was a brilliant presence at the other end of the ship, likely suffering more of Yoda's tutelage, or potentially making friends with the ship's array of droids. Wang Wei had mentioned something about there being an especially mouthy one who reminded her of R2-D2. Obi-Wan opened the door before he could knock, his expression twisted with concern. "Fimor?"
"Can I come in?" Fimor asked quietly, and Obi-Wan immediately stepped back to give him space.
Throwing all thoughts of decorum out the airlock, Fimor walked over to where Qui-Gon was sitting in his meditation position on the floor, eyes open and watching him with concern, and knelt next to him, leaning forward to rest his forehead against his former master's chest.
"Fimor? Padawan, what's wrong?"
Qui-Gon requested, one hand coming to rest on his nape, the other on his shoulder.
"Palpatine asked me to serve as his advisor," Fimor said, the words shaky,
too small from being forced out past the blockage of uncertainty and fear clogging his throat. Obi-Wan dropped down to the floor next to him with a loud exhalation of breath, while Qui-Gon's hands tightened.
"He what?" Obi-Wan breathed. "Can he? Is that something he can do? Request a Jedi to advise him in Senate matters?"
"Serving as advisors to members of the Senate as requested are one of the duties of the Jedi ambassadors," Qui-Gon murmured in his teaching voice, and hearing the familiar cadence soothed some of Fimor's turmoil. "The duty of serving as advisor to the Chancellor, however, usually falls to a member of the Council. Addy served as Valorum's advisor."
"But what if we start to pull away from the Senate?" Obi-Wan asked,
even as he shuffled a little closer to Fimor, his knee coming to rest against his thigh, and rested a hand against the middle of Fimor's back over the center of the lightsaber scar. Fimor sighed and shook his head even as Qui-Gon replied,
"Separating ourselves from the Senate and judicial is best done slowly, over the course of many years."
"Why? To avoid backlash?"
"In part, yes, but also because neither the Order nor judicial are truly prepared for the complete severance that will be necessary to remove us as fully from the Senate's oversight as will be necessary to avoid being forced into the position of leading an army in war. Until that point, we will have to continue to act at the Senate's directions, if only to keep the Sith Master and those he controls from realizing our intentions and working to stop us. That will mean that someone will have to serve as Palpatine's advisor, and we will continue being sent on the diplomatic and peacekeeping missions that the Senate believes are most necessary."
Fimor couldn't quite stop a snort at the bitterness in Qui-Gon's voice.
"You're starting to sound like Master Yan," he warned.
Qui-Gon sighed, thumb rubbing comfortingly against the shorter hairs at the back of Fimor's head.
"As much as it pains me to admit, Yan is right. We're doing the galaxy no favors being beholden to the whims of the Senate. If Vinnis hadn't stepped in and sent Obi-Wan and myself to Naboo, it very likely would have ended in many more deaths than it did, and a treaty signed in the Trade Federation's favor." "You don't bring an army unless you're planning to use it," Fimor added quietly, sensing Obi-Wan's skepticism at the suggestion that even more of the Naboo, humans and Gungans, would have died without their intervention. Obi-Wan drew in a sharp breath, and Fimor suspected he was remembering that he'd led part of an army himself, and had been speaking from hard-won experience. Qui-Gon sighed. "Unfortunately, Fimor, I can't advise you on the best course to follow. My heart says to keep you as far from Palpatine as possible, but my sense says that you may be one of the best equipped to keep an eye on him."
Fimor choked out a laugh.
"I know.
I wasn't really looking for guidance, just me.
Qui-Gon finished quietly and shifted his hold to pull Fëanor into a hug, his Force presence a familiar cocoon of pride and affection. Fëanor squeezed his eyes shut and let himself cling to his former master, just for a moment, just long enough to rebalance his center and siphon the worst of his tumultuous emotions off into the Force. As he pulled back, twisting so that he was kneeling perpendicular to the other two, Qui-Gon murmured,
"I'm sorry, Fëanor."
"I know," Fëanor sighed and ran a tired hand down his face.
"I don't know what to do about Wang Wei," he admitted,
and Obi-Wan stiffened while Qui-Gon's mouth pressed thin.
"I'm not comfortable with the idea of having her so close to someone answering to the Sith, especially while unaware of the danger, but I'm not certain she'll be able to hide her knowledge in Palpatine's presence once she knows. And I fear that simply refusing to allow her to accompany me without explaining why will do her far more harm than telling her the truth."
"So tell her," Obi-Wan said like it was simple. "She can stay with one of us or one of your friends when you need to go to the Senate. If anyone in the Senate asks, you can just say she had a class or an assignment she needed to work on."
Qui-Gon hummed in agreement. "She has only just discovered her lineage is more extensive than she had believed. It wouldn't be unheard of for you to leave her with myself, Yan, or Obi-Wan, so she can learn more about what she's been missing, and perhaps learn some skills that you mightn't have thought of or been comfortable enough with to pass on."
Fëanor stared down at where his hands were worrying the ends of his sleeves in his lap, not really seeing them as he weighed the ideas proposed. They were all excellent suggestions to explain why his Padawan wasn't attending the Senate with him, and he was far more comfortable with the idea of leaving her with a member of their lineage or one of his friends, knowing she understood why he preferred to leave her behind, than upset because he wouldn't tell her why or bringing her, all unknowing, to visit someone who could influence her in damaging ways. And he didn't doubt that Palpatine would attempt to influence her, not after the way he'd been wording things while speaking to Fëanor, complimenting Wang Wei once he realized Fëanor didn't appreciate any suggestion that she wasn't important, suggesting that the position as the Chancellor's advisor would be an honor, and that saying no would imply it was a burden, complimenting his integrity and decrying the Senate's in the same breath, implying that the Council would be fools to refuse Fëanor the position, even closing with a well-wishing for Wang Wei, proving he'd understood that she was extremely important to him. It had been a subtle manipulation, made more so by the friendly air he wore all about himself like a cloak, which only made it that much more dangerous, especially to someone as young and willing to please as Wang Wei. "None of this will matter," he murmured, "if the Council prefers to send one of their own number to advise him."
"That is true," Qui-Gon agreed. "However, before you leave to further Mace's headache, would you like to join us in meditating?"
Fëanor was feeling sufficiently settled to get by without meditating, but he wasn't about to say no to spending time with his former master and brother Padawan.
"I would enjoy that very much," he replied,
and both Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan smiled before they all closed their eyes to meditate, dropping back into the Force and finding what comfort they could in it and in each other. The Council very obviously didn't like the idea of sending him to serve as Palpatine's advisor, Windu eventually admitting,
"You are clearly in need of a mind healer, Fëanor, and probably a year or two of light missions and a holiday." "We don't have that kind of time," Fëanor returned, feeling tired.
They hadn't had it during the war, either. No time for holidays, no light mission loads, barely enough time to visit the mind healers once every 3 months. Force. They barely had time to get healed of injuries that usually would have seen them temple-locked for months.
"Time is not the issue," Mundi replied. "While your foreknowledge is an impressive and, by all appearances, much-needed boon, a written report of everything you recall will serve us just as well as having you guide our actions in person. You are not so invaluable that we cannot make do without you."
Fëanor barely managed to stop a wince. He recognized that the Sirian master hadn't meant that cruelly, probably hadn't even processed the emotional impact of the words, but that didn't stop the blow from landing.
"However," Mundi continued, "you are uniquely qualified to serve as Chancellor Palpatine's advisor.
Not only are you more familiar with him and his policies than anyone else in the Order, he is familiar enough with you to request you.
In the past, Peel interrupted, when a newly elected chancellor with little to no contact with the Order during their previous Senate term requested a specific Jedi, we have done our best to honor that request for the sake of the Order's relationship with the chancellor. If the requested Jedi doesn't have consular training, or doesn't have the experience to act as an advisor to the leader of the Senate, we pair them with a member of the Council, or, when none of us are available, with a senior ambassador. Either of these things are true in your case. You have over 2 decades of exemplary experience as a diplomat and ambassador, are known for keeping a cool head when tempers flare, and are apparently the most popular Jedi among the Senate staff and younger diplomats. If the Council refused you this appointment, we would have to have a very good reason. Which isn't to say that you cannot decide to say no of your own accord, Kun added. And Peel inclined his head towards him. Windu took a deep breath and looked up and met Fimor's eyes for the first time since he'd woken in the archives. Fimor, it's your choice. What do you want to do? What did he want to do? He wanted to go back to meditating with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, where he'd felt safer than he could honestly remember ever feeling. He wanted to be in the cargo hold, walking Wang Wei through her katas and letting her introduce him to all of the new droid friends with Skywalker. He wanted to be home, in the temple, sharing a dinner with the whole of his lineage, that once impossible dream that was finally in his grasp. He wanted to sit in the Garden of 1,000 Fountains with Kay and Ramada and Roon and share all manner of gossip. He wanted to not have the Sith around, to have decades of peace ahead of them to look forward to. He was so tired of war and loss, of the constant weight of the darkness and the Force suffocating him. He opened his eyes. When had he closed them? And met Windu's stare. I'll take the position, he said, voice as firm and certain as every time he'd had to make the hard choice during the war. But I need the Council to back me if anyone questions why I'm leaving Wang Wei in the temple. Done, Windu agreed, the word coming out with such force Fimor suspected he would have had to fight the Council if he hadn't decided to keep his Padawan away from Palpatine. What do you intend to tell her? Peel asked. You have never made a habit of leaving your Padawans behind, even after Knight Kadulka's rather juvenile reaction to Senator Esper's, I believe it was, comment on their piloting skills. Fimor closed his eyes against the memory of his first Padawan's decision to throw the senator in question over their shoulder, carry him to the temple speeder they'd borrowed for the day, and then crash it through the window of the senator's office. Please don't remind me. We're both still banned from Masheka. I had no idea Meshekans had such long memories, Windu commented. It's not about the memory, it's about the grudge, Fimor explained, and thought for a moment that Windu's mouth might have twitched like he was going to smile. He shook his head, refocusing his thoughts on the original question. Wang Wei already knows that I had some sort of vision of future events. Facing Maul and Naboo lends more than enough credence to the validity of the vision, even if certain creshmates of mine are unlikely to stop quibbling over the possibility of me getting a vision. I intend to tell her that one of the things the vision hinted at is that our newly elected chancellor is answering to the Sith, and I need to know that she's safe so I can focus on finding evidence to lead us to the Sith. Will she remain quietly in the temple if she knows you're putting yourself in danger? Mundi asked. Fimor shrugged. For now. I expect that in a couple years after she feels herself a capable enough duelist to have a fight on my hands. But I'll plan that jump when I reach it. I suspect she won't quite grow up into the young woman whose braid I cut, he added a bit helplessly. After all, that Wang Wei had never been left in the temple while he advised the Chancellor. Nor had she been able to count 2 of the greatest duelists of their generation among her lineage. 3, if Yan decided to stay and train her in Makashi. Force help him. He was in danger of having a master duelist as a Padawan. Mundi blinked. Of course. Fimor, Windu called, and when Fimor refocused on him, he found the head of the Council refusing to look at him again. Not that he really blamed the man. The Council will handle informing the Chancellor that you'll be serving as his advisor. However, due to the fact that you're only recently returned from a mission,
during which you were wounded. You've been confined to the halls of healing for 2 weeks. He raised his eyebrows at the wall. I don't expect the healers to be able to keep you in the halls for more than a day, if that, so use those weeks wisely and get some damn rest. Fëanor chuckled and bowed. Thank you, Master Windu. You're welcome. Now get out. Fëanor left and went to hunt for his Padawan. He had no intention of telling her about Palpatine until they were safely in their quarters in the temple, but that didn't mean he couldn't spend some time with her. Given how he'd left and that he'd been wounded while on Naboo, Fëanor supposed he shouldn't really have been surprised to find a small crowd waiting for them by the doors of the speeder bay. Truthfully, he'd mostly expected Kay, since his friend only rarely left the temple, but Ace and Vega were a welcome surprise. Hello, my most troublesome former Padawan, Fëanor greeted as Ace stalked up to them. How broken is he? They demanded of Wang Wei. She shrugged. It looks nasty, but Annie says he got in a back-to-tank, so he's healed. Ace blinked. Who the kark's Annie?
Me,
Skywalker chirped from where Qui-Gon was attempting to keep tabs on him. Obi-Wan had abandoned them in favor of his own small crowd of waiting friends. Ace's expression went cold.
Master Jin, they said icily, and gave a jerky bow.
Fëanor sighed and tugged his first Padawan into a hug. Yes, Qui-Gon commented mildly. This lineage dinner is going to be very interesting. Night, Kimura, he added as Kay and Vega made their way over. Kay looked Qui-Gon up and down once, then very pointedly turned to Fëanor and said,
You missed Rune, but she said you owed her a round in the cells when she gets back.
Fëanor hummed, suspecting Rune might not find beating him quite so easy as she used to.
Are you ready to be civil? He asked Ace, when they tried to pull out of the hug, refusing to let go.
Ace snarled, but relaxed against Fëanor and finally returned the hug. Fëanor smiled down at his grand Padawan while her master grumbled unpleasantness and botchy against his shoulder. Hello, Vega. When did you two return to the temple? She shrugged as she reached out and traded a fist bump with Wang Wei. She'd never been comfortable with a great deal of physical contact, so she and her age mates. She and Wang Wei were only 2 years apart, and while they hadn't been friends in the creche or as initiates, they'd developed into good friends since Fëanor had taken Wang Wei as his Padawan. Had settled on fist bumps in lieu of more physical greetings.
Yesterday? Master's been fuming since Wang Wei calmed him, though. Guess that was right after you pulled a disappearing act.
Ah, my apologies.
Where's my apology? Ace grumbled.
Fëanor shook his head and finally let his former Padawan go, catching their shoulders before they could escape completely.
I'm sorry I worried you, Ace, he said, completely honest. That was never my intention.
Ace deflated.
Yeah, okay, accepted. You do not get to punch your grandmaster, Fëanor added.
Wait, Vega called as Ace let out a disgruntled sound and cast Qui-Gon a glare. I thought Master Jander was dead.
Wang Wei snickered. That's what I said.
Fëanor sighed and looked over at his former master, who offered a slightly helpless pained smile in return. Next to him, Skywalker was looking more than a little lost.
Vega, this is my master, my second master, the one who saw me through my trials, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Vega leant around her master and stared at Qui-Gon for a moment, then proceeded to punch Ace in the side, hard enough that they let out a wheeze and flinched.
In the criving hell were you planning on telling me that we had one of the best duelists in the order in our lineage?
How about never, since he's...
Fëanor pulled his former Padawan back into a hug, and Ace went back to grumbling against his shoulder.
Master, I think you remember Ace. Better and better as they come up with less and less plausible threats, Qui-Gon agreed wryly.
Ace, apparently surprised that Qui-Gon both understood Bocce and had excellent hearing, shut up. Fëanor snorted and rubbed Ace's back.
This is Vega Naidu, their Padawan.
Qui-Gon smiled.
Hello, Padawan Naidu.
She tilted her head, considering him.
There's a story here, and I probably won't like it.
An astute observation, Qui-Gon agreed.
Then he glanced down and ruffled Skywalker's hair, startling him out of his pout.
I should take Annie to the Initiate's dorm.
Fëanor held up a finger to request he wait a moment, then asked,
Ace, are you capable of greeting your grandmaster without insulting him?
Do I have to have dinner with him? Ace grumbled.
Yes.
Then no.
Fëanor sighed and shook his head.
Anakin, I'll come down and see you in a day or two once you've had the chance to settle in, if that's okay.
Skywalker's face lit up.
Yeah! And I'll come as soon as I can convince Arwan to sneak away with me, Wang Wei added.
Excuse you, little sister, Ace called, twisting in Fimor's hold so they could scowl down at her without actually losing contact, which told Fimor, if he hadn't already figured it out based on how Ace wasn't actively fighting him to escape like they'd normally do, that his former Padawan was not handling either the return of their Grandmaster or Fimor vanishing and then getting wounded well at all.
I don't remember giving you permission to steal my droid.
Arwan is their own being and perfectly capable of deciding they like me more than you, Wang Wei informed him. Which they do, Vega added before her master could start arguing about who was their droid's favorite.
Couldn't you have picked a different Padawan, master? Ace complained. This one's rude.
Fimor sighed and looked to their former master, who was doing a terrible job of hiding his amusement.
As it turns out, master, he said dryly, I do understand why you tried to keep Xanatos and I apart as much as possible.
Qui-Gon chuckled.
I'm afraid I was more worried about you finally punching him than any amount of bickering.
Little bastard would have deserved it, Kay snapped, turning a glare on Qui-Gon. Maybe if he'd had his nose broke a time or three, he wouldn't have tried to, I don't know, blow up the whole temple.
A very loud, strained silence fell over all of them. Ace's hands tightening in Fimor's cloak while Vega wrapped her arms around herself and stared down at the ground. She had been one of the younglings trapped in the turbo lift over the Room of a Thousand Fountains during Xanatos' reign of terror, and Fimor knew she still woke from occasional nightmares about it and struggled with the fear of enclosed spaces. Into the silence, a male voice said,
Pretty sure Xanatos had the facial disfiguration bit sorted out all on his own. There were better places to punch him, which, related, why are we punching a dead man? No offense, Master Jin. None taken, Padawan Moln, Qui-Gon replied in a tired tone.
As a young human man, a young Mon Calamari woman, and Obi-Wan stepped around Kay to join the group.
Qui-Gon was just leaving with Anakin, Fimor commented, turning a flat stare on Kay.
Yes, the sooner you get settled, the sooner you can start making friends and plotting against stodgy old masters, Obi-Wan agreed, winking at Skywalker, who beamed at him and gave a vigorous nod.
An excellent point, Qui-Gon agreed and took the opening to escape.
Kay, that was uncalled for, Fimor said once his former master and his young charge had left. Kay very pointedly ignored him, instead turning to look over the new arrivals.
Ace's rival, pretty boy, and the water girl, he said.
That ain't hurt you, Moln, Ace called without moving from Fimor's hold. Fimor was honestly starting to get a little worried.
Wait, hold the criffing calm. Kay was staring at Obi-Wan, who had pinked slightly. Where's your braid? Fee, what happened to his braid?
Fimor turned his gaze up to the ceiling of the hangar. The council decided I'd passed my trials? Obi-Wan said a little uncertainly.
Fee, Kay stressed.
He killed a Sith, Fimor informed his friend dryly. In what galaxy wouldn't that count as passing your knighthood trials?
He turned to Obi-Wan.
The idiot is Kay. I've already apologized.
Apologized for what? Kay demanded.
Obi-Wan let out a quiet laugh and agreed. I remember.
The leech is Knight Ace Kudzak, and this is Padawan Vega Naidu, he finished, motioning to his grand Padawan.
Vega unexpectedly walked up to Obi-Wan and said, Thank you. Then gave him a quick hug before beating a strategic retreat behind Fimor and Ace.
Obi-Wan looked completely flummoxed.
Hi, you're welcome? Why? He asked, looking at Fimor.
Ace finally tugged away from Fimor, who let them go without complaint and turned to face Obi-Wan.
You carried her to safety 12 years ago, they explained quietly.
Obi-Wan blinked once, twice, and then his eyes went wide.
Oh, the turbo lift.
He swallowed and shook his head.
You're very welcome, Vega. And I'm delighted to see you well, but I didn't do it alone. Master Qui-Gon, he helped too, taking the younglings on the catwalk and getting them downstairs, and the counselors held the turbo lift and the shaft steady and burnt. He motioned to the Mon Calamari, whose cheeks darkened. She's the one who ran to get the masters.
Vega took a breath and stepped out from behind Fimor. looking so very young it hurt.
But you're the one I remember, she said. You were light. You carried me out of the dark.
Fëanor doubted Obi-Wan really understood how important light was to Vega, who was a Zelosian, a sentient plant species. But he seemed to understand the gist, at least, because he bowed to her and said,
I'm glad, then, that I was there.
Vega smiled.
Me too.
Obi-Wan looked up at Fëanor once it became clear that was all Vega wanted or needed to say.
These are two of my friends, Bont Aaron and Garen Mon. Bont Garen, this is Master Fëanor. He was Qui-Gon's first Padawan.
I thought Xanatos was his first Padawan, Mon said.
Fortunately, no, Fëanor said dryly. I don't want to know how much more of a wreck Qui-Gon would have been after Xanatos' fall if he'd been his first.
Dunno, would have saved the rest of us some grief, Kay muttered.
Fëanor turned an unimpressed stare on his friend, then narrowed his eyes as it occurred to him that someone was missing.
Knight Kimura, he said flatly, and Kay
flinched, because Fëanor only called him that when he was in trouble.
I sincerely hope your Padawan isn't wearing your armor right now.
Kay cleared his throat, starting to look just a little uncomfortable.
I should probably go check on that. Yes, you probably should.
Kay beat a hasty retreat while Fëanor turned a raised eyebrow on Vega. She was good friends with Kay's Padawan Marcus, Mac to his crush mates, and usually knew how the boy was planning to get back at his master for his latest stunt. She flashed him a smirk.
Mac said he was going to add dye to the guard showers and let everyone blame Master Kay.
It would serve him right, Fëanor muttered, while everyone else made noises of amusement. I swear, ever since Marcus hit his last growth spurt, he spends more time in that armor than Kay does.
Joke's on Kay. There's no way Marcus is done growing, Ace pointed out. He'll be taller than his master soon enough.
What a tragedy, Fëanor deadpanned.
Wang Wei snorted as she came up and wrapped both hands around his.
Okay, Master, you've met Obi-Wan's friends. Now you need to go to the halls.
Ace spun around so fast they wobbled slightly.
You said it wasn't broken!
I'm not, Fëanor insisted. I am fine.
Okay, yeah, I see the resemblance now, Aaron said, and Obi-Wan let out a long-suffering sigh.
He's not broken, Wang Wei promised.
Master Che is just terrifying, she gave her dramatic little shudder. She calmed the ship almost as soon as we dropped out of hyperspace and made him promise to come see her first thing.
I don't even know why, Fëanor muttered, still annoyed about the whole thing.
When Windu had told him he was going to use being trapped in the halls as an excuse as to why he couldn't immediately start working with Palpatine, he hadn't intended to make it fact.
I was cleared by the Naboo medics nearly a week ago.
Wang Wei nodded to the stare he's turned on her.
He was up and waiting for us when the ship landed. I did say Bacta was involved.
Still not sure I believe it, Ace muttered, then raised their voice to say, You take your bags, I'll take our master.
Agreed.
Fëanor sighed and looked over to where his brother Padawan was clearly enjoying the spectacle.
Let me know if you need help moving to new rooms, little brother.
Obi-Wan raised an eyebrow at him.
Sure.
If Master Che doesn't strap you to a bed and sedate you.
Speaking from experience, Fëanor asked sweetly.
Yes, Aaron interrupted before Obi-Wan could respond. Yes, he is. Does everyone in your lineage avoid the halls?
No.
Ace and Wang Wei said nearly simultaneously.
Only Qui-Gon and those of us trained by him, Fëanor admitted. Xanatos hated healers, too.
Obi-Wan got a constipated look on his face.
I'm not certain I wanted to know that I have that in common with him, he muttered.
Fëanor chuckled. Obi-Wan shook his head.
Once you're free of Master Che, let Master know so we can work out the night for dinner.
I will, Fëanor promised. And yes, you have to come, Ace.
Ace huffed at him and grabbed his arm, using it to pull him towards the doors.
Halls of Healing, Master, let's go. Bye, Uncle Obi-Wan.
What? Obi-Wan yelped from behind them, while the four Padawans broke out in laughter. Fëanor chuckled at the vaguely horrified shock he sensed from his brother Padawan, and didn't bother fighting Ace beyond speeding up a bit so that they were walking side by side rather than him being dragged. When Ace just wrapped their arm around his a little more, he sighed.
Do we need to talk?
No.
Ace.
Ace pressed their lips into a thin line and kept staring ahead. Master Che was waiting for them in the halls.
"You're late, Master Fimor," she informed him.
"I had a welcoming party," Fimor replied dryly.
Master Che glanced at Ace, who was still practically hugging his arm, and hummed.
"Come along, I want to see how bad it is, and I'm running your neurochemistry again."
Fimor grimaced, but didn't argue. Ace finally let him go so he could disrobe, standing back out of the way and clutching Fimor's robe like it was a security blanket.
"This is healed remarkably well," Master Che said, her fingers lightly skimming over the long scar Maul had gifted him. "Who used the force healing, Master Jin?"
"I did," Fimor admitted.
She was still for a long moment, then stepped around him to consider him with a narrow-eyed look.
"Lie down," she ordered.
Instead of asking questions about how he suddenly excelled at force healing, and he wondered what the council had told her, if anything. She had the computer run the scan once he was lying down, tutted at the results, and said,
"I'll be back. You can get dressed, but if you leave this room before I release you, I will track you down, sedate you, and drop you in a back tank until it's needed for someone else."
Fimor grimaced and ducked his head. "Yes, Master Che," he agreed, and she laughed with an irritated noise. Sighing to himself, Fimor pushed himself back up into a sitting position and reached for his undertunic. Before he could do much more than get a finger on it, however, Ace was next to him again, their hand tracing over his back. When he glanced over his shoulder, he found terror and grief writ across his former Padawan's face.
"Ace," he said quietly, "I need you to talk to me."
"Why him?" Ace asked, their voice quiet and small. "All he ever did was hurt you. Why would you? Why did you risk your life for him?"
Fimor closed his eyes and let out a slow, pained breath. He'd only just taken Ace as his Padawan 2 days before Qui-Gon calmed the council and declared that he had no Padawans, and then vanished. It should have been a happy time, but Fimor had spent months struggling with depression and insomnia. Instead, while Ace tried desperately to keep their new master from crashing and burning.
"Because he's my master," he replied quietly. "It never would have hurt if I didn't love him."
Ace let out an angry sob and hugged Fimor from behind, pressing their face into the crook of his neck and clinging to him.
"And for Obi-Wan," Fimor added as he covered Ace's arms over his chest with his own, because it was true. "I don't need Qui-Gon, not anymore, but he does."
"He has us," Ace said, the words bitter.
"He does now," Fimor agreed. "But a sibling is not a master, especially when you've only just met them."
He squeezed Ace's hand.
"What's done is done, and I'm here now, alive, safe. I'm not leaving you, Padawan."
Ace tightened their grip. Fimor sighed.
"I know you despise him, but could you give him a chance? For me?"
Ace was silent for a long-awaited moment. Then they agreed.
"One chance."
"Thank you.
Now, do you think you can let me get dressed?"
"No."
Fimor sighed again.
"You may as well come back in, Master Che. It seems like I'm stuck for a while."
Master Che's smile as she came back into the room was not comforting.
"In that case, Master Fimor, there are some other tests I'd like to run."
Fimor closed his eyes and squeezed Ace's hand again when they let out a near silent sniffle into his neck, resigning himself to being trapped for a while.
"If you can run them without upsetting Ace," he agreed tiredly.
Master Che grinned, showing her sharp teeth, and Fimor had a feeling that he was going to regret this. Oh well. For the sake of his Padawans and Grand Padawan, for Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, for his family, alive, whole, here, there was very little he wouldn't suffer. Not now that he knew how it felt to lose them. The End.